Hello, and welcome to this half hour with Rowlett's Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rowlett's. And I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for our Sunday school program. Folks, we've got some exciting things going on in our Sunday school program. We've really been seeing blessings come. We've seen people grow spiritually. We've seen people get more in depth with the Bible in order to understand more about what God's purpose is for their lives. Did you know that God has a purpose for you in this life? And you can discover that purpose by seeking out Jesus Christ and by allowing Him to flourish in your life and show you exactly what God's plan for you is in this world. I also like to invite you to come join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service. We've really been feeling the Spirit of the Lord come visit us. I know each and every Christian that's saved, they have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and they have that Spirit implanted within them. But there are times in our lives we begin to really admit the ministry of the Spirit really comes upon us. And I've really been enjoying so much our worship services. And you could come be a part of that every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. We've got some great, great opportunities for you to serve. Maybe you're looking for a place to serve. Hey, I want to tell you that we've got outstanding beliefs and just a wonderful spirit of cooperation here, and I'm so grateful to be able to serve the Lord in a place like Rowlett's. Maybe you could come join us on Wednesday evenings. Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., have our weekly Bible study. We've been going through the book of Esther, been enjoying that very much. Every once in a while, we might chase a rabbit a little bit on something, but we've really been looking at the book of Esther and having a wonderful time with that. I want to share with you this morning a little bit about what we shared this past Sunday here at Rowlett's. We had a wonderful, wonderful service, and God really moved. We felt the Spirit of the Lord, and I'm grateful for that. I'm not trying to be bragging or trying to sound boastful, but I know that the Lord blesses people who are obedient to Him, who desire to know more about Him. And listen, never will there be a time in your life, if you desire God, if you seek His face, you will find Him. You'll find more of God anytime you go to look for Him. And I want to share with you the same scripture, maybe, that we shared, but I've never been able to preach two sermons that are exactly the same. And I know I could probably preach from Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. Or we're just going to look at the prodigal son this morning, just for a few minutes. Let's share these verses together, and I'll share a little bit about what I believe. Chapter 15 of Luke, verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. You know, there's an old saying, home sweet home. You ever heard that saying? I'm sure you have. I want to think about this morning, if we can, look at the story of the young man who discovered the truth of a familiar quote, home sweet home. Or I'm sure you've heard it said, there's no place like home. It's a familiar story of the prodigal son. But maybe we could see some things there that you might not have seen, or maybe you have forgotten. Now, I think for the most part, the young man in this story, he kind of gets a bum rap. He's pictured as a bold, insulting, depraved, heartbreaking rebel in most sermons I've heard. I guess from popular conception, he probably rode a motorcycle, had a black leather jacket, wore his sunglasses even when he was inside, and he was fed up with the wimpy life of a farmer. And he wanted to go and do his thing. But you know, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't give a hint that he was a worry to his father or that he gave his mother all the gray hair and the wrinkles. In fact, if the guy's been as bad as all that and his dad gave him half of the family fortune, then the dad was more of a fool than the son. We don't read that. From the story, it appears the dad had a great deal of confidence in his younger son. If you read on, you'll remember that this boy wasn't the oldest, which means that he wasn't the heir. The inheritance would legally go to the oldest, okay? But immediately upon request, Dad divided up his property and gave the younger brother half. Now, Dad must have felt that his son had some talent, or at least a desire to make good. Up until that moment, it appears the guy was trustworthy, industrious, and at least worthy of the benefit of any doubt. He was probably curious about the outside world, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I'll tell you something else. I don't think the guy ever lost his love or respect for his father at any time. Read the scripture again if you need to. That was always there through loneliness, famine, husks, and all the disillusionment. I think it's wrong to jump all over this young man and tear him apart. He made mistakes. Mistakes that cost him dearly. Mistakes that were almost fatal. He lost his way. But so have multitudes of us. And it happens so easily. I know so many, and so do you, who are not bad people, but they wanted to be on their own, to do their own thing, to be their own boss. Instead of taking with them all the moral truths and the standards they were taught, they somehow became convinced that they were the exception to the rule. They could do it, and it wouldn't affect them. They could handle it. You know what they said? I just want to see what it's like. I know how far I can go. I can give it up any time I want. I won't get pregnant. I won't become addicted. It's not illegal. It won't tear my family apart. It won't cause me to find myself where I don't want to be. That's what people tell themselves. The boy left the safety of home and found vultures. And they can pick an innocent person clean. The world is exciting, but it's a wicked place that can quickly devour the portion of goods that you bring from a good home. Okay? He was a young man. He got trapped. He thought the very people who were using him were saints. And the further he plunged, the greater he thought he was. He probably echoed the lying words of that commercial that says it doesn't get any better than this. No doubt, while the money was still there, while the friends were still around, while he still had opportunity to take part, while he still had part of that inheritance, I'll bet you he looked up from time to time and thought, my goodness, it doesn't get any better than this. I'm living out here in the world. I'm doing my own thing. I don't have to fool that farm anymore. I don't have to answer to what my dad's asking me to do. I'm free. Thank God I'm free. And you know what? He was so, so wrong. He was a young man who got trapped. He was a person who had never experienced deficiency at home. You can see that in the Scripture. He'd never experienced deficiency at home. He never had to go without the basic necessities of life. He thought his inheritance would last him forever. It's amazing, folks, how much we take for granted, especially when someone else is there to take care of things for us. But we also take many other things for granted, like the fellowship of fellow Christians, ones who are there just when we need them the most, there to give an encouraging word or to talk with, or even when they don't actually do anything per se, but we just know that they're there and that they care. The church was meant to be just that, a family, friends, help when we needed it the most, people who care. But we have taken it all for granted and we head out to greener pastures. And that's what the young man did. It was a new experience for him, a devastating experience. It cost him everything, self-respect. Do you know living out there in the world will cost you your self-respect? It'll cost you your peace of mind. It cost him his faith in people. It cost him his entire fortune. It cost him everything except his life. And to be honest with you, that had drawn down to the very dying embers of a life, and it wasn't really a life at all. And that's a story that repeats itself. Day after day, in every city, in every nation, in the entire world. That's why it's in the Bible. The young are always confident that they can play the game smarter than the previous generation. Others may have tried and failed, they say, but not me. I now know 90% less, okay? I know 90% less than I did 15 years ago. When I was a young man, when I was in my teens, I had all the answers, even before I heard the questions. I wanted to get away from home, to get out into the world and change it with the same plea this young man. Give me a chance. But the world changed me just about as quickly. Friends, it doesn't take long to spend. One drink calls for another. One sexual encounter calls for another. One sin leads to another and another and another. And soon it's out of control. I have looked into the eyes of many a person who told me stories of moral, mental, and physical bankruptcy. Who knew after the first time it was wrong, but lies pound into the brain and the person drifts until they're nearly starved to death spiritually and maybe even physically, and the homesickness becomes unbearable. You remember the times when the family was close? You remember Sunday school or church singing songs that touch the heart, that sense of peace and well-being, the company of brothers and sisters in the Lord? But that's one tantalizing bait that sticks out there on the end of a line saying, just a little further along, it'll be a little better. One more night, one more drink, one more encounter, and you get deeper in and deeper in. And then before you know it, you look up, you're miserable, you're broken, you're covered in the swine, you're covered in the demoralization of what's happening, but you're too ashamed to turn around. You're out to prove something, and you will. You'll prove that the far country isn't what it's cracked up to be. And the booze ads don't advertise the sickening hangovers. And Budweiser's not going to show you on their commercials the mangled wreckage with the human bodies lying there broken, beaten, and bleeding. The dealers won't tell you about the side effects and the bad trips that can come from using drugs. And who will be there to cheer you on when you've contracted a deadly venereal disease or you face an unwanted pregnancy? It's hard to take advice. That comes later in life. Everyone is set on finding the shortcuts, but the path is a rut. And it leads right past your supposed promised land and goes directly to the pig pen. It happened to Lot. You remember Lot? He came back with just a clothes on his back. It happened to Samson. He made it home, but he was blind and the object of a house full of catcalls. There are more famines than those we see in this young man's experience. There's a famine of feeling where you get so numb emotionally that you're like the living dead. It comes from the repeated abuse of the things you desire so much. Oh yeah, you enjoy the freedom and the thrill of doing those things you know deep down are wrong. You convince yourself that you can handle it, but soon you realize that you've become a slave to your passions and a slave to a lifestyle that is slowly destroying you. But before you get too comfortable, there's a famine that is just as real and just as deadly and can just as rightly qualify you as a prodigal. And that is a famine of spirit. You see, a prodigal isn't necessarily one who actually leaves home and goes about carousing and openly partying with no holds barred. It's someone who takes his inheritance and squanders it wastefully without regard for the desires of the father or the guidelines of his upbringing. The preacher Eli knew that. He told a 12-year-old boy, God used to speak to me. He doesn't any longer. You starve spiritually, and that's the worst kind of a slow death. You're responsible for that portion of goods that has been turned over to you, folks. Many of you have had the prayers of a godly parent. You've had the Bible teaching you were given. You've had examples of godly people in your life. You've had churches reach out to you. You've had pastors reach out to you. And you're responsible for that portion of goods. And what makes the problem such a tragedy is that you've taken so much and accomplished so little. But I believe there are some who have come to the place where you're able to recognize it and thank God for it. You see, watch this. I know there's a lot of things right now that could distract you. There's a lot of other things that you could be thinking about. This radio may not be holding all your attention, but if you can remember one thing that I might be able to say today, if you can remember one thing that might stick with you maybe until Sunday morning, is there is a moment, there is that moment when you realize you don't really have a single thing left. You haven't got one real friend. You can barely draw a sober breath. You can't think a single clean thought. You'll never have another peaceful night's sleep. There'll come a moment when you no longer feel brave. There'll come a moment when you don't really feel very intelligent. And you have to face the fact head on that you've squandered everything. I'll always believe that the lowest moment in the prodigal son's life came when he was sent to feed the pigs. It wasn't just that it was a nasty job. You know, he was an Israelite. He was a child of the Father. He was a child of the King. And being there with the pigs was to blaspheme his God. It's bad enough for hell to ruin you, but then hell will sit back and laugh at you and watch you as you join yourself to things that you know you're wrong and you'd sell your soul for a bite to eat. That's when it comes down to the part where you'd make deals with the very people that you despise. Oh, young people, listen. Sin will develop in you an appetite that grows bigger than your sense of decency. Now, I'm not a very smart man, but let me say that again, because every once in a while, something will come out I think makes pretty good sense. Sin will develop in you an appetite that will outgrow your sense of decency. Sin will develop in you an appetite that grows bigger than your sense of decency. It made a cheap informer out of Judas and a couple of liars out of Ananias and Sapphira, and it can do as bad or worse if you'll follow it. There were prodigals who never physically leave the church. I'll say that again. There are prodigals who never physically leave the church, but who still played the game and made their appearances, but inside they were off in a distant land squandering everything God had given. And God help. God help. The prodigal thought it was bad at home, but now look at what he's become. Not a shred of dignity left. An Israelite slopping the pigs. So many times, folks, we have to reach that point. But I'll tell you this much. That's not where our story ends today. Because the young man never forgot his father. He never forgot his home. Not the famine, not the hogs, or all the disgrace could erase them from his mind. And there was always this homesickness and thoughts of a better life. Thank God for the wonderful moment when you get your eyes open, when you realize how false your whole journey has been. Hell doesn't like it, but hell can't stop the message. In my Father's house, Jesus said, there is enough bread to spare. In verse 17, he says he was nearly starving to death. That old good life that he thought he was living was no longer a temptation. It found itself out to be true that it was nothing but misery and heartache. And he said, I'll go back to my father. All the distance between him and his father, all the differences, everything that caused him to leave just melted away. It was time to go back home. It's only a step from where you are to the grace of the Father. Your homesickness is a passport. It gives you the right to turn around, and it doesn't take long to settle accounts. You can get right with God in just a moment. You can get right with God in just a moment. Look at verse 18. He said, I will say, Father, I have sinned. And that's what it takes. You can't make yourself fit, but He can. He furnishes it all, friend. The robe, the ring, the shoes, the supper. Some of you may be homesick, and why not? Nothing makes a person more homesick than to realize that morally spiritually, you're ruined, broken, destroyed. And just when you reach that point, before you give up, give in. Give in. Start taking those steps back to home. Start taking those steps back to the house of your Father. Start taking that route that you know leads to the promised land. And old friends, you'll find when you're still a great way off, when you're still further away than you ever intended to get, the Father will see you. He'll see you when you're still a great way off, and He'll run to you, and He'll fall on your neck, and He'll kiss you. The Son said to Him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven." And the Father said to His servants, "Bring out the best robe, put it on Him, put a ring on His hand, and sandals on His feet." Oh, friend, all of heaven rejoices not only when a sinner is saved, but when a son or a daughter comes home. I want to ask you today, have you been missing home at all? Have you found the distant land to be less than what was promised? Have you found yourself in the middle of heartache, starving to death? I want to remind you, dear friend, that in your Father's house, even the slaves eat well. Even listen, I want you to remember that Jesus Christ died not only to save your soul, but to restore you, to move you in the paths of righteousness, and remind you that no matter how far you've been, no matter what you've done, that God can set you back on your feet. Will you close with me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You, dear Lord, for all the blessings of life. Father, I thank You that You call the prodigals home through the heartaches that You put in their lives. And that, Father, please allow us to be an instrument used by You to welcome them and love them. Thank You, dear God, for all that You do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rowlett's Baptist Church.